Hey guys, Chad here. Welcome to another edition of the Chad Shipley Show, where I bring you interesting, insightful, and entertaining content or people. Today's show is a dive into a very important topic, especially if you are someone who is thinking of opening your own business or someone who has opened their own business. And I'm going to reference a book called The E-Myth, and this is The E-Myth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to do about it. And again, you know, I don't just search around on Amazon looking for books with cool topics. I'm usually listening to a lot of podcasts or reading other books, and I have these books referenced. And once they're referenced, I'll kind of look into them a little bit and then buy them. And this one is, again, a very popular business book. And right on the cover, it says more than 2 million copies sold. On the back, it says Michael E. Gerber, author, is a true legend of entrepreneurship. Inc. magazine called him the world's number one small business guru. He is a co-founder and chairman of Michael E. Gerber Companies, a group of highly unique enterprises dedicated to creating world-class startups and entrepreneurs in every industry and economy, a company that transforms the way small business owners grow their companies and which has evolved into an empire over its history of nearly three decades. So I love this book for a lot of reasons. One, I just opened up Sweat Bar Fitness, so it's a great like kind of playbook and reference manual, and helps me gain new insights and validate some of the things that I've already been thinking, or corrects some of the assumptions that I had incorrect. So I want to talk very quickly about one of the most important pieces of that entire puzzle, because when I started Sweat Bar Fitness, when we said we're going to go down a journey of launching a fitness studio, we were met with, right off the bat, like skeptics, right? People that were kind of came to us and they said, you know, like why? A lot of people actually didn't say it directly to me. It was to someone else that then came back to me. And it probably wasn't a lot of people, but there was people out there, and I don't blame them for this. It's just a logical way of thinking. But it was, you know, Chad's not a certified personal trainer. Why is he opening up a fitness studio? And, you know, that's a great question. And I always answered it by saying yes. Like I'm not the person, like I wanna have the fitness studio because there's people that need to do that job, right? Like you need to build the company, and then I want to put people in front of the customer that are going to be the best people to put in front of the customer to help them along their fitness journey. And I knew that there was going to be time where I'm going to have to solve that, to be that person, right? Like I'm going to have to run classes, and that's fine. And I went and I studied and I got my certification, and now I can run group fitness classes, and I can solve the gap for a period of time. But ideally, I want to be putting the right people in front of the customer, right? It's just like an education institution. Like you don't expect the people that created the university to be the people that are also sitting in front of the students, right? There's just two extremely separate worlds. There's the world of the business and building a business and giving people jobs and having and building a community and having customers and growing it and scaling it and making it profitable and, you know, like that whole aspect of it. And then there's the aspect of the operations, actually doing the day-to-day, the fulfillment of the fitness services in my case, and, you know, the HR, so to speak, and the front desk. And yes, because small businesses are small and they don't have, you know, a lot of people that you can employ, the person that owns it ends up being a lot of those different roles. And that's fine with me, right? Like my job is to scale to a point where I don't have to be all of those people, and I can keep building the company, keep growing it, keep giving other people jobs, let them do what they do really well, and let me focus on strategy and building this thing out. And so I get met with critics, so to speak, which will say like, well, you know, you have to be passionate about what you're doing. You have to love it. And like, if you don't, it sounds like you're just trying to build a business. And I talked about this in my last episode. Like people would say, this is just like a way for you to build a business or to create secondary revenue models. And I guess that's just a debate that is worth having with people. I don't to me I don't it's not like I like fitness. I pick that because fitness had such a transformational impact on me. I know it can change people's lives. I know that I had a lot of self-doubts. I was mentally weak, and I started using fitness as my mechanism to change my life around. And I remember runs I was on where I just hated it. Like I hated every second of it, but I was so proud of myself. I was so just like, I couldn't believe I was out there and I was running mile after mile after mile in the snow and the freezing cold and just suffering. And it sounds crazy, but when I sit on a warm couch all day and I don't do anything, you just feel like crap. You feel like you're not growing in life. You feel like you're not contributing. You just feel like you're not being a good person. So fitness for me was just a way of like really starting to change my life around. I know it's a valuable tool. Like at the end of the day, we all need fitness to be a part of our life. It's just a reality. If you want long-term vitality, you need fitness and you need more than cardio. You need more than walking and running and jogging. You need muscle building. You need strength. And you need to build those muscles, and then those muscles, shred the fat. That's what shreds the fat, and it gives you that long-term vitality. And this is what I mean. Like, since I went into the fitness industry, this is the stuff I'm learning. I get to work with our certified personal trainer now, Maddie Martinez. She, she's teaching me a lot of this stuff, and I'm learning. She's teaching customers, and they're learning. So it's just, to me, fitness was just the best business to build because for the customers, it's awesome. You're giving them like an amazing, set of tools. And it's funny because people will come to me that are not familiar with group fitness. We offer one of the most affordable products on the market, and that's not going to last long. I have to scale that up. But people will come to me and say, like, I go to, and nothing against the big box gyms, but they'll say, I go to this gym, I spend $99, or I go to this gym and I spend $20 a month. Why would I pay you $100 a month? And actually, for a time, we were like $79 a month, or 70 or something like that. I think we were 70, 70 a month for unlimited classes. And they'll say that to me, and they'll say, why would I pay you 100 when I could pay 20? And I say, well, if you can pay 20 and you can be effective, keep doing that. Most people can't do that. And I always use the example of like either a house or a car. Like, say someone just gave you a car and said, this is yours, it's free. But the caveat is you have to maintain it for the rest of your life. If you don't know anything about cars, that's gonna be really hard. So some people might figure it out. They might figure out how to change the brakes, change the oil, all of that. A lot of people are not. They're going to run the car straight into the ground. I am one of those people. I would not be able to figure out how to maintain a car. And it's, I know there's a lot of resources, YouTube videos. I just don't want to be the person that has to learn how to maintain the car. Tell me what to do and I'll do it, or I'll give it to someone else and let them do it when it comes to cars. Like, that's the way a lot of people are with fitness. They don't want to learn fitness. They don't want to learn their background. I always use the other example of like a house. Like someone gives you a hammer and says, I need you to build me a house. Think about how long it's going to take you to build the house. Think about how much you're going to struggle. Think about how what the quality of that house is going to look like by the time you're done building. It's going to look like crap, right? So now imagine someone comes in and says, I want to give you a bunch of tools and resources, and we're going to give you an engineer and an architect and a plumber, and we're going to give you blueprints, and we're going to give you tape measures, we're going to give you saws, we're going to give you all this stuff to help you build the house. Think about how much faster you're going to build the house. Be able to build a house. Think about how much less you're going to struggle, and think about what the quality of that house is going to look like by the time you're done. It's going to be much, much better. So, when you have the tools, when you have the resources, when you have the people helping you, like I always say, like you go into a gym, then what? You don't know how to use the equipment, all of it, and so you're stuck watching other people, and then you end up like one of those people in the videos on YouTube. You don't know how to execute proper technique and form. You don't have an endless list of exercises that are going to give you proper variation. And making sure that you're working all the different muscle groups. And if you even if you did have all of that, you have to know how to strategically design your workout every single day to give you the perfect combination of core cardio and strength conditioning. Who has time to do that? Like, I pay a certified personal trainer to do that for our members. She has to sit down every week and strategically build these workouts. I know a lot of people say, like, I just do it on my own. And I'm one of those people. I was like, renegade fitness. And that's fine. But, like, for the majority of people, they're not going to be able to get that kind of motivation, right? And they just don't want to. I don't want to do. I don't want to build a house. I don't want to maintain my own car. It's just not me. And there's a lot of people that realize fitness is important and they want to do it, but they just want to show up and you tell them what to do and you show them how to do it and you kick their butt and they leave and they feel amazing. That's what we offer people. And, you know, I talked about in the last episode, fitness being a commodity. It's exercising, like trainers training you is not a commodity. I don't mean it like that. What I mean is that to really stand out, to really differentiate, it's so much more than fitness. Like, you have to show people it's much more than fitness. Half of the challenge is the motivation and the accountability and feeling good, you know, wanting to come back, wanting to work with those trainers. So there's so much more that goes into it than, like, when I work out somewhere, I want to like love showing up at that place. I don't want to be nervous. I don't want to have knots in my stomach. I don't want to be worried about the people I'm going to see when I go in. Are they going to judge me? You know, like, I want to, when I'm walking through the door, I want that to be the best, you know, feeling in the world. But like, finally, I got to the place that I love and I can't wait to do this workout. That's the way that it should feel. So that's user experience, right? That's exactly the kind of stuff that I am hyper focused on. Right. And I'm not saying that people that do, like, that are fitness trainers are not hyper focused on that stuff, but they absolutely 100% should be. But I've seen the opposite, like, where people just want to, you know, like, they think their entire job is to teach fitness, and that it is. I mean, it is, right? Like, but it's the same thing I dealt with in corporate America with project managers. You know, they think that their job is to build the project plan and to make sure people are meeting the deadlines and to, you know, like, make sure that everyone, you know, knows their job and is doing their job. And if they're not doing their job, you're on them. But that's great. if every single person you're working with hates you, you're not doing your job, right? Like, you got to figure out how to do really good conflict resolution and making people, like, bring their best to the table. I'm starting a new thing where I'm going to actually talk about some of the insights that that leaders have given me. And one of them is that, like, the ability for, like, someone to make sure that everyone is bringing their best all the time and feeling good and like, just creating an environment where people are comfortable. That stuff is so much more important to me. So I'm hyper-focused on that kind of stuff. User experience, marketing strategy, you know, like, when it comes to marketing strategy and execution, that is a whole nother world of, like, that has so, it's so far from fitness. Like, I mean, for someone that's a certified personal trainer to say, I'm going to open up my own fitness place, and then take on the task of marketing and strategy execution, email automation, direct response marketing. This is a world that I am spending, like, hours upon hours every day learning how to build a customer list, how to treat that customer list, how to put them on a journey, how to add value to them all the way up until the point where they become a customer. And then the second they become a customer, add more value to them, tons and tons and tons of value. That, like, that whole nurturing prospect all the way through customer to fulfillment to giving them an amazing customer journey, like, for someone to just, like, be a person that loves exercising, to figure all of that out, that's a huge burden, right? So getting back to the book, and I, just because I'm talking a lot about fitness, think about from a perspective of hair, like a hairstylist, right? And I'm not, you know, there's a lot of people that out there that do hair and you want to open up your own salon. I encourage you to do that. This is not me discouraging anyone at all. If anything, I'm trying to give you valuable tools and resources, things you can do to make sure that you're thinking about it the right way before you open up a business. You're understanding all of the things that go into it, right? So there's kind of two sides of the coin here. There's the, what I'll call the technician, because the book calls it the technician. That's the person that does that. They're an electrician, they're a plumber, they're a fitness instructor, they're a salon hairstylist, they're a barber, they cut hair. They're all of these different things, right? And that's the technician. You're actually doing the technical work. And then there's everything else. There's marketing operations, there's understanding the business and the cash flow. And I even use, like, an accountant. So I'm not saying that you have to do all of the accountant. My accountant is amazing. For anyone in the local area that needs an accountant, Chubbs Bendick, Jason Bendick, I'll just give him a shout out, because he has been so instrumental in helping me with my business. It's amazing. He's really, really good. He knows what he's doing. So If you need an accountant, there you go. But it's like there's all of these other big pieces of a puzzle, right? Like employing other people, finding talent, retaining talent, building customer relationships. That's huge. Like people don't understand. Like everyone told me, don't quit your job. Do not quit your job. That is a huge risk. And I'm thinking like the risk is actually me not quitting my job. If I'm not there every single moment of every single day to meet every single customer and to talk with them and to build a relationship, this business will not work. It just won't, because people that I hire to teach fitness are not going to care about these people the way that I care about these people. And that's just a reality. This is my baby. It's my home. I need to be there. So I quit my job and I was there every single day. And I can't even explain the dividends that has paid off. Like not one, like I got really awesome relationships out of it. I'm friends with so many people now that I didn't even know existed, you know, 6 months ago. And these people are like a big part of my life. Like I care about what they're doing. I love seeing them on Facebook. I love learning about their families. And we talk all the time, and it's just amazing. That's what I went into this business for, because I knew I was going to meet these kind of people that had a drive and that were looking for fitness to keep, you know, transform their life. So that's what I want. That's the big benefit for me. I don't want to just outsource that to someone else, right? So to me, being there, building relationships is huge. It is critical. Like that is one of the biggest things, especially now. I mean, we're in the COVID situation. I have so many of my members that are sticking with me just because they like me now, and we've built such a powerful relationship, and they hate working out at home, but they're still paying me because they just want to continue being a part of what we're doing, and they know we're going to open the doors again soon, and they want to be able to come back to that. So that's a huge piece. So when it comes to like the technician, the person actually does the day-to-day activities versus the everything else, the person has to do all of those kind of things, right? So I'll give you an example. Like I don't want to say her name, because I didn't ask her if I could, but I have a friend that is an owner of a hair salon, and I had this conversation with her probably years back. And it was so funny to me because this is way before I had ever even thought of opening a fitness studio, you know, doing my own thing. I actually wasn't even thinking about being an entrepreneur. I should do a whole nother podcast on that, because I spent a long time, large part of my life, not even ever thinking about being an entrepreneur. Like I just always wanted to be in corporate America. I wanted to climb the ladder. I wanted to get to the top. I wanted to be at the top. And I just loved it. I loved doing that. And I'm kind of scared that that'll creep back up at some point, and I'll be like, I want to do that again. But for right now, this phase of my life, like I hit a wall and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I need to go do my own thing. Anyway, I was talking with her and she said the same thing to me. She said, you know, like she has gotten critique for opening a hair salon when she was not a hairstylist. And people like would question that she did that because she wasn't a hair salon. So they're thinking like, how are you going to open up a hair salon? Like, why would you even want to do that? You're not a hairstylist. Same thing with me, right? You're not a certified personal trainer. You're not already working with people on fitness. Why would you want to open up a gym? So my immediate reaction to that was, I would be more concerned for you if you were a hairstylist trying to open up a hair salon. And the reason is because like sometimes you're not thinking about the big picture, right? Like, and that's what we're going to get into in this book, The E-Myth. If you're not thinking about the bigger picture, like actually building the company and having employees and giving people jobs and being HR and being all of these different things that you need to be, in the book, they call it three different things. There's the technician, the manager, and the entrepreneur. And there's a period of time where you probably have to be all three. But if you don't start to transition out of that technician role, you're not going to be a successful entrepreneur. You're going to be trapped all day, every day, working for yourself. You're going to be doing all of the jobs, fulfilling the technical work, and suffering, like just suffering. You need to learn how to transition from technician to manager to entrepreneur. And you can't outsource those. You can't outsource management. You can't outsource entrepreneurship. At least I don't think so. And I think the book agrees with me. So these are really important things to understand before you go into business, right? So my immediate reaction to her was like, I would be more concerned if you were someone that was doing hair styling now, and you thought that you could just be a successful business. The other way around, if you're coming at it from a business angle and you're thinking about like, hey, I want to have a business because I see a need in the market, right? Like, which I'm assuming she saw because she's wildly successful now. She saw a need in the market. Like, there was just nothing like what she ended up creating. And it's really awesome. I wish I could say the name. Should have got permission from her, but I didn't. And like, it's right in my hometown here. So, you know, like, it's just, so many people go there now. I feel like every girl I know goes to this place, and it's just awesome. But she came at it from a business perspective. Like, I need to create this because there's a need in the market. I have a vision for what it's going to be. And I'm going to put the right people in place, the people that do hair and do it really well. I'm going to put them in place, and I'm going to let them do what they do best. And I'm going to focus on what I do best, and then we're gonna have a very awesome like company. And in fairness, like, I haven't talked to her in years about her business. I'm looking at it from an outside perspective. It seems like they are doing really, really, really well. They've done a lot of renovations to the building. The place is always packed. The parking lot's packed. And you know, anytime I hear about anyone talking about it, it's always good words. So, major kudos to her. She was actually, you know, an inspiration to me doing my own thing and building a fitness studio, kind of the same thing, right? I saw a huge need in the market where we ended up putting the gym. There wasn't something like that. There are things that are close by. Some of them are super expensive, but you know, I just thought, this is my hometown. We really have a good opportunity here to bring something awesome to this community and help, you know, a lot of these people. And the people that do come love it because they're like, this is right down the street for me. Like, I was going, you know, to this place and it was so far away, or like, I wasn't going anywhere because, you know, I didn't have time in the morning to go somewhere before work. So we ended up doing a good job there. Okay. So I'm going to read a little bit from the book, and he gives an example of a woman that he was helping, and she went into the baking pie business because she loved to bake pies and her pies were really good. And I can't remember the backdrop on all of this. But it's, she needs his help because she's basically working like 18 hours a day baking the pies, trying to run the business. And it's just like, she's making enough just to live off of, and she's miserable to the point where she went from love baking pies to being someone that just like hates every aspect of pie baking. And this is the trap that so many people fall into, I think. Well, it seems like from this book anyway. When you open a small business, you end up like, you do it because you love it. You don't want a boss anymore. You're an awesome electrician. You say like, I'm going to go do my own thing. And then you fall into the trap of like having to work all the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week. So like you got away from having a boss, but then the boss became your business, and you can't get out from under that. And again, this is not discouragement. And you know, for anyone that's thinking about or has recently or, you know, is struggling with their business, there is ways to think about it. You need to change your insights and perspectives. That's why this entire podcast, I talk about key insights, key perspectives, things that you can start to do that are going to unlock the chains, different ways of thinking about things. I just wrote that book, Light Your Fire. Get a copy of that. I can give you a million other like awesome book references that are going to help really fine tuning the way that you're thinking about it and then executing. And this is not coming from like me standing on top of the mountain. I am in the trenches. Like, I have to readjust my own way of thinking all of the time. You know, I get stuck in this, man, I'm like, you know, even before COVID happening, I was working the 5 a.m. class and then working the, our last class of the night, which it was at 7 o'clock on some nights. So, you know, I felt like I was working around the clock, up at 4 a.m., opening the gym. People were coming in for the 5 a.m. class, and then I'm closing it down for the 7 o'clock class. I have to clean up the gym after. I have to put everything on the board, write the work. You know, Maddie's writing the workouts, but I have to set it up for the next day's workout. And it was just, it was hard. I'm thinking like how, you know, I left a really high paying job where I was, you know, in the office at much later and, you know, just kind of drinking coffee throughout the day, sitting at my computer, working on stuff, to now I'm up at 4 a.m. and I'm in a gym and I'm, you know, doing fitness. And, you know, like I like working out and I do like instructing classes, but when you start instructing class after class after class, it's like, what am I doing? What was I thinking? But the reality is that like, this is a temporary step, right? Like, I need to build the business, build the relationships, and then start putting awesome people in place to help run those classes. Takes the burden off of me. Then I can go back to being a businessman and I can let other people, you know, do what they really do awesome. And we actually, the coolest thing about us is that we have so many people in the pipeline that want to become instructors. Not so many, but we have some really awesome people in the pipeline. I set them up, they're studying for their courses, and I set them up with like our certification company that we use, NASM, and they're going through and they're learning and they're going to get their certifications, and they have other jobs, of course, right? But now they can run classes. So, you know, we start building schedules and we plug them in, and they already know everyone. They know the program. They know Maddie really well. They know how she designs the workouts, and like, now it's getting exciting, right? Now I'm like, okay, well, like, this whole working 20 hours a day thing for me is going to get drastically reduced, and I could start to go back to the things I really like, which is, how do I figure out how to get 50 people like a week on the phone telling them everything I just told you guys? Like, here's the problem with fitness. Here's the challenge people have, you know, especially for people that are out of shape. They walk into a gym, they have no idea what to do. They're worried about like looking stupid. They don't even know if what they're doing is effective or helping them. Like, we're going to solve that problem for you, right? It's not, that's the other thing I love about fitness. I don't have to unethically sell people. I really believe in our product and I believe what we're doing. It's because, you know, I found an awesome person that I trust that, you know, the workouts that she's building are awesome, and yeah, all that good stuff. Okay. Anyway, the fatal assumption: in the throes of your entrepreneurial seizure, you fell victim to the most disastrous assumption anyone can make about going into business. It is an assumption made by all technicians who go into business for themselves, one that charts the course of a business from grand opening to liquidation, the moment it is made. I'm going to read that again. It is an assumption made by all technicians who go into business for themselves, one that charts the course of a business from grand opening to liquidation to the moment it is made. So from grand opening to liquidation. The moment that you make this assumption. Okay, I got it. That fatal assumption is, if you understand the technical work of a business, you understand a business that does that technical work. That's the fatal assumption. I'll read it again. If you understand the technical work of a business, you understand a business that does that technical work. That is a fatal assumption. Okay, and the reason it's fatal is that it just isn't true. In fact, it's the root cause of most small business failures. The technical work of a business and a business that does that technical work are two totally different things. But the technician who starts a business fails to see this. To the technician suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure, a business is not a business, but a place to go to work. So the carpenter or the electrician or the plumber becomes a contractor. The barber opens up a barbershop. The technical writer starts a technical writing business. The hairdresser starts a beauty salon. The engineer goes into the semiconductor business. The musician opens up a music store. All of them believing that by understanding the technical work of the business, they are immediately and eminently qualified to run a business that does that kind of work. And it's simply not true. In fact, rather than being their greatest single asset, knowing the technical work of their business becomes their greatest single liability. Okay, so I'm going to pause there. And I just want to kind of caveat what I've been saying. Like, I did not think of it this way, which gives me like validation to some extent. Like, I feel better, especially when people are like, is Chad crazy? He's not even in like the fitness world. Why is he opening a fitness studio? But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be successful. Like, it doesn't mean I'm a good business person. I tried to learn as much as I possibly could in my, you know, path up the corporate ladder, doing management consulting, you know, learning all the skills I could learn from the great mentors and leaders that I work from, and, you know, applying that. But like, even when I talked about the marketing and strategy execution and, you know, email automation and giving people the customer journey, like, I am spending so much time right now trying to learn that stuff. It's not like I'm coming into this and I already know how to do that. And I'm just like, yeah, like, from a business perspective, I got it all covered. And now I just need to find people that are going to run the fitness side. I need to spend a lot of time learning that stuff. I think the most important thing, like, if I, it might have sounded like I'm kind of pitching this as I have a huge advantage. I would say the only advantage that I have over some people is that I recognize this distinction, that I know that I cannot be successful just because I now know how, or I'm now certified to teach group fitness classes, right? And it sounds like from the book, and you know, I'm trying to caution people that like there is a lot more that goes into it. So if you are a person that opened up your own business and you are struggling, there's resources, there's tools, right? So I don't want to seem like this is coming from like me saying like, yes, haha, told you guys, I was right. I know business. And this is like, I mentioned Jason Bendick. I need other people's help, a lot of people's help, right? We brought on Derek Carson as a strategic advisor because I didn't know the fitness space really like well. He was helping to answer a lot of those questions. In the last podcast, I was even talking about like, now that I've gone through that journey, I want to actually build like, you know, if you are someone that wants to open up your own fitness studio or open up your own practice for like helping clients, here's everything I learned, everything. Like, and it's what I'm going to teach in that class is not how to show your people how to exercise. It's going to be every other thing, right? Here's how many people you can expect on day one. Here's what a cash flow model looks like. Here's what insurance looks like. You know, all of these other pieces of the puzzle. Okay. You guys get it. Whatever. In fact, rather than being the greatest single asset, knowing the technical work of their business becomes their greatest single liability. For if the technician didn't know how to do the technical work of the business, he would have to learn how to get it done. He would be forced to learn how to make the business work rather than do the work himself or herself. The real tragedy is that when the technician falls prey to the fatal assumption, the business that was supposed to free him or her from the limitations of working for somebody else actually enslaves them. Suddenly, the job they know how to do well, so well, becomes one job he or she knows how to do, plus a dozen others that they don't know how to do at all. Because although the entrepreneurial seizure started the business, it's the technician who goes to work. And suddenly, an entrepreneurial dream turns into a technician's nightmare. See the young woman baking pies. See the young woman starting a business baking pies. See the young woman becoming an old woman. So I actually, when I was reading that, it made me think of something else. And I said that I'm going to kind of like pull together a bunch of the things that I really learned over the last couple of months of diving into the world of marketing and strategy and email automation campaigns and all of that good stuff. And one of the things was Russell Brunson taught, and he learned it from someone else, but he said that it's the who, not the how. So that was probably one of the most important insights that I've ever had. And it's so, and this is what I talk about. Like when I talk about insights that unlock the chains, like that is my whole mantra. This is this entire podcast. It's my blogs. I use it so much in the fitness realm of the world. I wrote a book on it called Light Your Fire, Unlock the Chains, because I am so like, I'm such a believer that these simple little insights can start to unlock these chains that are wrapped around the way that you're thinking. It just opens you up to like, oh my gosh, I get it. That was one of those aha moments. He literally said during this course, he said, it's the who, not the how. Stop trying to figure out how to do everything. Find people that do it really well. So in the context that he was speaking to, like we were talking about building a funnel, you had to create digital products. Then you have to learn how to build a funnel. Then you have to do graphic design, right? You need beautiful pictures of the things that you created. How do you do graphics design? Once you do that, you got to learn copy, the sales copy, all of the things that you're putting on the page that are going to sell someone. I'm doing this now, and I'm selling products digitally. I wish I could tell you guys, like I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so I'll do a different podcast, but I have stats on how well it's performing, and it is performing terrible. I literally had someone come to me the other day and say like, this is an amazing offer. Like, are you asking for this amount monthly? And I'm like, no, it's a one-time fee. And they're like, this is crazy. The offer that I'm offering is so good. It's unbelievably good. Like I actually put it so low just to make sure that price point wasn't a part of it. Before you even get to the part where you pay me money, all I'm asking you to do is send me your email. If you send me your email, I give you something super, super valuable. And I even put together a video that that shows people what it is that they're going to get and how awesome it is, right? So I run an ad on Facebook and I get like 10,000 people. I talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, but I get 10,000 people coming. They're seeing the ad. There's people that are liking it. There's people that are sharing it. It's just like it's creating growth on its own because people are sharing it. It's working. It's driving people to the landing site. When they come to the landing site, all they have to do is put in their email and I give them this really valuable free thing, right? And I even put together a video that showed them this very valuable free thing. I cannot even explain how low the conversion is for people that come, they watch the video, and they don't put in their email. They just won't. And it's so hard. And I'm watching all of these experts, and it gives me validation because when I listen to them, they're talking to me and they're saying, it happens to all of us. This is the world of email or direct response marketing. It is so hard to get people to opt in to what you are trying to sell them. One, you have to find your target market and just that, like this huge crowd of people on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, you have to be able to really, one, understand who you're after, and then two, get them. And it sounds so easy, it is not easy. So there's all of these different things, right? The sales copy, the words that are there, they're gonna make them opt in. You need to use people. And then there's running the ads, right? Like, how do I even run Facebook ads? How do I create a really awesome ad? So I'm doing all of these right now, and it drives me, except for graphic design. I had to outsource graphic. Actually, I ended up doing the picture for our graphic design. I did outsource it, but there's a picture that I created and I'm actually using. And then I found an ebook generator that generated me graphic design. So I even did that. And I, you know, like building the content, I was even, you know, the stuff that we private white labeled, and that's a whole nother conversation. I pulled that all together and I built an eMag around that. And then I wrote so I was doing it all, right? Like literally learning how to create my own Facebook campaigns, build the ad that people are sharing and liking. It's a video. I'm using a video technology. And I had to learn how to do that. So it's driving me crazy. I'm like trying to, you know, like go into all of these realms of the world. And the truth is, like, it's awesome for me to learn these different pieces, but I haven't gone deep into any of them to really become an expert. And I just, cause I can't, I don't have the time. So the who, not the how. Like, you need to learn how to build people onto your team that can do it. And you don't need to worry about how to do it. And Russell, I love him. He's like, I don't know how to do any coding. I don't build any of the funnels. I don't do any of my Facebook advertising. Like, my job is to sell my product. And I do that really well. And I let everyone else do everything else. And, you know, it's easy to say when you get to the point where you can afford to do that. It's much harder when you're like me right now and you're struggling and you're trying to pull it all together. But there will be a day when I can, you know, use the who, not the how mentality. Okay. It's easy to spot a business in infancy. I'm back to the book, diving in. It's easy to spot a business in infancy. The owner and the business are one and the same thing. If you remove the owner from the infancy business, there would be no business left. It would disappear. In infancy, you are the business. It's even named after you. Joe's Place, Tommy's Joint, Mary's Fine Foods. So the customer won't forget that you're the boss. Okay, so I'm going to kind of pivot here really quickly because there was one other section of this that I wanted to read. Oh, there's a good, let me read this really quickly. By asking the right questions, such as where do I wish to be? When do I wish to be there? How much capital will it take? How many people doing what work and how? What technology will be required? How large a space will be needed? At benchmark one, at benchmark two, at benchmark three, will you be wrong at times? Will you make mistakes? Will you change your mind? Of course you will, more often than not, but done right, you will also have contingency plans in place, best case, worst case, and sometimes you will simply fly by the seat of your pants. You will go with the flow, follow your intuition, but all the while, even when you're guessing, the key is to plan, envision, and articulate what you see in the future, both for yourself and for your employees, because if you don't articulate it, I mean write it down clearly so others can understand it, you don't own it, and you don't know do you know that in all the years I've been doing this work with small business owners, out of the thousands upon thousands we met, there have only been a few who have had any plan at all. Nothing written, nothing committed to paper, nothing concrete at all. Remember, Sarah, any plan is better than no plan, because in the process of defining the future, the plan begins to shape itself to reality, both the reality of the world out there and the reality you are able to create in here. And as those two realities merge, they form a new reality. Call it your reality. Call it the unique invention that is uniquely yours, the reality of your mind and your heart uniting with all of the elements of your business and your business with the world, shaping, designing, collaborating to form something that never existed before in exactly that way. And that is the sign of a mature company. A mature company is started differently than all the rest. A mature company is founded on a broader perspective, an entrepreneurial perspective, a more intelligent point of view about building a business that works not because of you, but without you. So like where you're not even a part of the business. And honestly, like this is the kind of stuff that really jazzed me up about creating my own company. Cause I love all this kind of stuff. I love planning it. I love building plans. And actually here, I'll read this really quickly. So the work of an entrepreneur is to wonder, I continued, to imagine, to dream, to see. He's explaining what an entrepreneur is to the woman in the pie baking business, I believe. Yes. Okay. So the work of the entrepreneur is to wonder, I continue, to imagine and to dream, to see with as much of herself as she can muster the possibilities that waft about in midair, someplace there above her head and written in her heart, not in the past, but in the future. That's the work that the entrepreneurial personality does at the outset of her business and at each and every stage along the way. I wonder, I wonder, I wonder. Just as every inventor must, just as every composer must, just as every artist or every craftsperson or every physicist must, just as every baker of pies must, I call it future work. I wonder, is the true work of the entrepreneur. So it's basically wondering and asking those questions and thinking big and dreaming about what can be and what can become. And I should note really quickly, because I talked a lot about marketing strategy, marketing execution. Another person that I had as a who, not the how, was Pat Hanavan, and Paul Haggerty. Those guys helped so much from a marketing perspective, from a creative design perspective. You know, these digital products I just bought, I had someone, I outsourced the graphic design of one thing, but all of my other graphic design was all done by Pat and Paul. Those guys were, they're amazing, like creative geniuses. I guess that's why they're called super deep creative. Anyway, trying to find this last paragraph here I wanted to read to you guys. It was really awesome. I don't know. Can't find it. Give me 1 second. I actually like mark things in my book awesome, and I star things. This says awesome. This might be it. Sorry, guys. Okay, I'm going to read this. And then we'll wrap this up. Okay. I'm going to spare you guys on that. Okay. Most people who go into business don't have a model of a business that works, but of work itself. A technician's perspective, which differs from the entrepreneurial's perspective, is the following. The entrepreneurial perspective asks the question, how must the business work? The technician's perspective asks, what work has to be done? So that's a really big difference in the way that question's being asked. How must the business work compared to what work has to be done? I like that. Okay. The entrepreneurial perspective sees the business as a system for producing outside results for the customer, resulting in profits. The technician's perspective sees the business as a place in which people work to produce inside results for the technician, producing income. Whew, it's getting hot. Okay. The entrepreneurial perspective starts with a picture of a well-defined future and then comes back to the present with the intention of changing it to match the vision. The technician's perspective starts with the present and then looks forward to an uncertain future with the hope of keeping it much like the present. Wow, that was big. Okay. The entrepreneurial perspective envisions the business in its entirety from which is derived the parts. The technician's perspective envisions the business in parts from which is constructed the whole. And the entrepreneurial perspective is an integrated vision of the world. The technician's perspective is a fragmented vision of the world. To the entrepreneur, the present day world is modeled after his vision. To the technician, the future is modeled after the present day world. And there was another piece of this that I really wanted to read, and I can't find it. So I am just going to have to stop here. Okay. That's the show, guys. I hope you guys liked it, enjoyed it, found a lot of value out of it. Please make sure to, give me some feedback either through email or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever it would be. If you like the show, please rate it. That helps a lot. And I do have this digital package now. I put a link to it in the last show. It's really awesome. You guys can check it out. And Light Your Fire, that book is out there on Amazon for $2.99, or it's a part of this digital package that I created for $19.99, which has a lot of really awesome fitness stuff in it. So if you are in the world of fitness and you want to explore that, then I highly recommend you pick it up. That's it, guys. Keep stopping back. Appreciate it. A lot of the episodes are shorter than this, and we get into really high value stuff very quickly. This one's a little bit longer because I overlaid some of my life experiences, which people have asked me to do. So hoping that you guys all like that. Thanks, guys.